All right, today we're diving into this article from Neopolitico, and wow, the title alone, it really made me want to get you on the line here. It says, "Rama, born out of an illicit relationship, Brahma raped his own daughter, Ambedkar, on Hindu gods." I mean, it's not something you see every day.
It's definitely eye-catching, to say the least, especially when you start thinking about B.R. Ambedkar himself.
Right, he wasn't just some, like a random commentator. Ambedkar was such a huge part of building modern India, a social reformer, the architect of the Indian Constitution. I mean, he's a giant. And to see his name next to, such strong critiques of Hinduism, it's really something.
It really makes you think about his legacy and how
Yeah,
complicated it is.
for sure. And this article goes deep into all that, focusing on Ambedkar's book, Riddles in Hinduism. It lays out some pretty shocking claims about these figures that are, central to the Hindu faith. Like, for example, it says that Rama, who's often seen as like the ideal of righteousness and virtue, that he had multiple wives and even concubines.
It's important to remember with someone like Rama, he represents Dharma, which is a really complex concept. It's about ethics and duty law, right? Conduct, all wrapped up in one. So if you're going to challenge Rama's actions, you're actually going after this core idea in Hindu tradition.
That's a really good point. And it gets even more complicated when the article brings up these accusations about Sita Rama's wife, that she wasn't born legitimately, and even questions about her, being faithful to Rama after being held captive by Ravana Ambedkar doesn't hold back.
And it's not just Rama and Sita who he critiques. The article also talks about how Ambedkar goes after Brahma, who's a major deity in Hinduism.
Yeah, the article says that Ambedkar even accuses Brahma of, well, raping his own daughter. Which is a really tough thing to think about, especially given Brahma's place, as one of the most important gods.
It's a difficult accusation for sure. And as if that wasn't enough, the article says that Ambedkar then criticizes Krishna, another central figure in Hindu mythology.
Exactly. Krishna is often shown as having all these wives and partners, but Ambedkar seems to have a problem with. This calls it immoral. And then there's even this mention of Krishna leaving his wife and then seducing another man's wife.
Ambedkar was definitely trying to challenge these traditional stories about the gods, presenting a completely different take on what they did and why they did it.
No.
Absolutely. Where do these controversial interpretations come from, though? The article points to the influence of Ambedkar's sources.
Well, Ambedkar, he leaned pretty heavily on translations of Hindu scriptures, especially ones by this scholar, Max Müller.
Max Müller. That name sounds familiar. Remind me, who was he again?
Oh, right. So Max Müller was this big-time scholar back in the 19th century. And he was really into translating Eastern texts, like, the important Hindu scriptures. He's a big reason why Westerners even know about these texts.
Okay, that makes sense. But hold on, if Ambedkar was working off translations, doesn't that mean he's kind of getting these stories secondhand, like seeing them through someone else's filter?
You're right to wonder about that. And the article actually brings that up. They even quote Müller himself, saying that he wanted to use his translations to uproot Hindu beliefs, which is kind of wild when you think about it.
Wow, okay. Yeah, that definitely changes things. If Miller was going into these texts with that kind of agenda, it makes you wonder how much his own biases, ended up shaping those translations,
Yeah.
and then how those translations then shaped how Ambedkar understood those stories.
Exactly. Translating stuff is never just like a neutral thing. You're always interpreting, making choices about which words to use, how to get the feeling across. And when it's religious texts, we're talking about, texts that have so much cultural and spiritual meaning, those choices become even more loaded.
For sure. But the article doesn't exactly let Ambedkar off the hook either. They actually say that he might have had his own biases, even going as far as to use the phrase innate hate towards Hindus. And they bring up how he compared the caste system to the violence of forced conversions. That's a pretty heavy accusation. What do we make of that?
It's super important that we talk about this carefully and thoughtfully.
Yeah.
To really get where Ambedkar was coming from, we got to consider the historical context of the caste system in India and how deeply it affected his own life. Ambedkar was a Dalit, which means he was part of the community that's historically faced and, I mean, still faces the worst of the caste-based discrimination and oppression.
Yeah, I remember reading about how badly he was treated growing up, all because of his caste.
Yeah, and it wasn't just when he was a kid. He dealt with prejudice when he was trying to get an education in social situations. Even just getting basic necessities was hard for him because of his caste. It was this constant, deep-rooted inequality that really shaped how he saw the world and how he critiqued Hinduism. He saw the religion and the caste system as totally intertwined.
So even though his critiques might seem harsh, they weren't coming out of nowhere. They came from a place of real pain and lived experience.
Precisely. To really understand his views and all their complexity, We have to understand that history and the reality of caste and discrimination that fueled his work. That being said, while acknowledging the horrors of religious violence, making direct comparisons between different kinds of oppression is something we need to be careful about. We have to avoid generalizations and recognize the specific situations and histories behind these events.
That makes sense. So we've got this whole web of things going on, Ambedkar's own experiences, his reliance on these translations that might have been biased, and the really sensitive historical context of the caste system. That's a lot to unpack. And this isn't just ancient history either, is it? The article made it a point to mention how much Ambedkar's legacy is still being debated even today. It's like his whole legacy is a riddle in itself. Why do you think that is? Why are his views still so relevant now in the 21st century?
I think it speaks to how important the questions he was asking really are. His legacy is complicated, for sure. But it's also really connected to these ongoing debates we're having about social justice, religious identity, and just the whole political landscape in India.
The article mentioned how both the left wing and the right wing want to claim him as an icon. What is it about Ambedkar's work that allows for such different interpretations?
Well, on the one hand, you've got his critiques of Hinduism, which might be controversial, but they really speak to marginalized communities in India, you know, those who still face discrimination because of caste. For them, Ambedkar's words are powerful. They validate their experiences and push for change.
So he's become like a symbol of resistance for those who are still fighting for equality in India.
Exactly. And on the other hand, there's his focus on education, on constitutional rights, on social reform. That appeals to people who see him as this builder of the nation, someone who went beyond his own experiences to create a more inclusive India.
It's interesting how one person can embody such different, even opposing ideals and hopes.
And that's exactly why we need to engage with his work in a thoughtful way, critically, and with an awareness of the historical and social context in which he was writing.
Well said. It's been quite a journey today. We've gone from shocking claims about Hindu gods to the nuances of translating ancient texts to the legacy of the caste system and even modern politics.
It really shows you how important it is to approach these topics with nuance, to really dig deep and understand all the layers of history and interpretation that shape our understanding of the world.
I couldn't agree more. This deep dive has definitely given me a lot to think about. And for everyone listening, I think the biggest question I have is this. If Ambedkar were alive today, how would he see modern Hinduism? How would he engage with the fight for social equality that's still going on in India? It's a tough question with no easy answers, but one worth thinking about for sure.